Welcome to the My Virtual HR Radio Show with your host, Robert Redden. My Virtual HR, affordable outsourced HR support for smaller businesses in England and Wales.
Welcome to show number 8 of the My Virtual HR Radio Show. In today's show, I'll be talking about two topics: dismissing an employee with less than 2 years continuous service, and dismissing an employee for some other substantial reason. Before getting into the details of these topics, I'd like to say a few words about My Virtual HR. My Virtual HR, www.myvirtualhr.co.uk, is a membership website providing affordable, outsourced HR support for smaller businesses. Members have access to over 200 pages of premium content organized into a convenient A to Z format. There are also answers to frequently asked HR questions, breaking news section, articles, videos, key employment data, and much more. New content is continuously being added. Membership is from less than 24 pence a day. Members can also buy employment contracts, employee handbooks, template letters, HR forms, and HR consultancy, all at affordable prices. The first of the two topics I will be looking at in today's show is dismissing an employee with less than 2 years' service. Let me start with a general remark. That is, the 2 years' service is the qualifying period for which an employee must be continuously employed to accrue the right not to be unfairly dismissed. It was only a few years ago that the qualifying period was 1 year, and it has been shorter than that further back in history. In fact, the length of the qualifying period has changed surprisingly often, and there is every likelihood that it may change again in the future. When we talk about the employee having less than 2 years' service, we really mean an employee that has yet to accrue the right not to be unfairly dismissed. There is a twist that employers should be aware of. The qualifying period of continuous service includes the statutory period of notice, which, for up to 2 years' service, is 1 week's notice, the effect of which is that the right not to be unfairly dismissed is actually accrued after 1 year and 51 weeks continuous service. Don't be caught out by that. Can an employer just pay off an employee who has not got the requisite qualifying service? The answer to that question depends on how risk-averse your business organisation is and how soon the employee will accrue the right not to be unfairly dismissed. Best practice dictates that a fair dismissal procedure should be followed in every case, in accordance with the ACAS Code of Practice. If you follow best practice, you have to invite the employee to a disciplinary meeting and warn them that the company is considering dismissing them. He or she would have the right to be accompanied by either a colleague or trade union official of their choice, and must also be given a right of appeal. I covered holding such a meeting in last week's show. There is a risk to this, which is that the employee may legitimately raise other issues that the company is obliged to investigate. That risk, however, is inherent in all disciplinary and dismissal cases, and is one you will need to weigh in the balance. If, following such a meeting, a decision is taken to dismiss the employee, he or she will be entitled to notice pay, accrued holiday pay, and the benefits they enjoy under their contract of employment. If the employee is paid salary in lieu of notice, they're still entitled to these, save that they should either be compensated for the benefits they have lost, or be allowed to keep them until the end of the notice period. An alternative, but potentially riskier route, is to dispense with any dismissal procedure and simply pay him or her off, which, I suspect, is what many managers would like to do, especially if the end of the qualifying period is looming. While the employee cannot claim to have been unfairly dismissed, they do have other rights, such as not to be discriminated against on the grounds of their gender, including pregnancy and maternity, their age, disability. Also check they're not the carer of a disabled person, as that disabled person's rights not to be discriminated against could transfer to their carer, and their religious or philosophical beliefs, none of which has a qualifying period, and nor is there a cap on the maximum award of compensation in such discrimination cases. To minimise your risk, it would be prudent to make a careful check to satisfy yourself that the employee has none of these qualifying characteristics that would enable them to bring a claim for discrimination. You should also ensure that he or she has not made a qualifying disclosure within the last 3 months under the whistleblowing legislation. Disclosure can be made to the company or to the prescribed person named in the list produced by the Department for Business, Innovation and Skills. A copy of the list can be downloaded from the Downloads page in the Members area of our website, www.myvirtualhr.co.uk. Ultimately, your choice of which route to take and how it will be followed will come down to money and how much risk your business organisation is willing to take.
You're listening to the My Virtual HR Radio Show.
The second topic for discussion on today's show is dismissing an employee for some other substantial reason, and the 10 situations when this reason for dismissal may be used. The term, some other substantial reason, is an abbreviation that has given rise to the erroneous belief that it is a catch-all if none of the other four fair reasons for dismissal apply. It is not a catch-all, but is a fair reason for dismissal in its own right when used correctly. This is what the statute actually says. Some other substantial reason of a kind, such as to justify the dismissal of an employee holding the position which the employee held. That is all it says. The term is not defined, and there is no guidance about what it means, but there are clues in the language. It has to be a substantial reason, that is a business reason, which is neither minor nor trivial, and the reason for dismissal must be justified taking into account the role of the employee. The ACAS Code of Practice does not apply to a dismissal for some other substantial reason. That means the employee has no right to be accompanied at a dismissal meeting by a colleague or trade union official of their choice. However, you must still follow a fair procedure, otherwise the resulting dismissal will not be fair. That means you must investigate the facts, discuss the matter with the employee, and give the employee an opportunity to appeal. There is, of course, no reason to stop you voluntarily applying the ACAS Code of Practice. There are 10 situations in which an employee can be dismissed for some other substantial reason. They are: reason number 1, third-party pressure. This is applicable to employees who work on a third-party site. Nevertheless, you must still do all that is reasonable to avoid dismissing your employee. See our report in the breaking news section of our website on the recent case of Massini against Compass Group UK and Ireland Limited, a case which illustrates a model response from an employer faced with a situation where a client refuses to have an employee back on its site. Number 2, business reorganisation. This is where you require the same number of employees, but their roles have changed. You'll need a fair selection procedure and hold adequate and timely consultations. Number 3, personality clashes. This is where substantial disruption is caused to your business by people who either cannot or will not work together. Number 4, breakdown in trust and confidence. Be alive to the fact that often this is not the real reason, but is the consequence of the real reason. It is better to get to the bottom of the matter and deal with the real reason than to use some other substantial reason. Number 5, expiry of a fixed-term contract. That speaks for itself, but be alive to the fact that fixed-term contracts that have been renewed for 4 or more years are automatically converted into permanent contracts. Number 6, temporary replacement employees, for example maternity cover. Number 7, not agreeing to changes in terms and conditions of employment. I covered this in an earlier podcast on how to reduce pay and avoid unfair dismissal. You can listen to that podcast on Audioboom, Stitcher, and also in the members area of our website, www.myvirtualhr.co.uk. Number 8, serious risk of harm being caused to the reputation of the business organisation. It's generally considered to be gross misconduct where an employee has already caused serious harm to the reputation of the company. Number 9, conflict issues. Generally, cases where the employee's interests conflict with those of the business organisation can be dealt with as a conduct issue. You should be aware that is not always the case. And finally, number 10, mistake or ignorance of the law. This is different to illegality, which is another of the fair reasons for dismissal. Whether it meets the criteria to be some other substantial reason will depend on all the circumstances, including why you made the mistake. Our two topics for today's show demonstrate that things are not always as they appear at first sight. And now you know how to avoid the potential pitfalls I talked about. In next week's show, I will be discussing more employment topics that are relevant to your business. I'm Robert Reddin from My Virtual HR. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to seeing you in next week's show.
You have been listening to the My Virtual HR radio show. Today's show was written and presented by Robert Reddin. Music was by Kevin MacLeod. My Virtual HR, affordable outsourced HR support. For more information, visit our website, www.myvirtualhr.co.uk.